The title of this lecture for December 1995 is Israel and Bosnia in Prophecy. We are all aware that NATO forces in Western Europe are now gathering together to send troops into the area of what was formerly called Yugoslavia. They're going into principally the central region, now called Bosnia, and they are there in order to give a breathing space to those fighting a civil war that has been going on in that area for about 500 years off and on. This civil war has gone on since the Turks, who were the ones who introduced Islam into the region, were there some 500 years ago. Now the Turkish people basically have retreated to the extreme southeast corner of Europe. But great quantities of people who adopted the Muslim faith, that is Islam, still remain in this central area of this part of Europe known as the Balkans. The word Balkans is a Turkish word, which means mountain district. And there are mountains mostly in this region of this part of Europe. The fighting over the past 500 years has been between people who are basically the same in racial characteristics, but they have profound differences in their religious beliefs. In the north and west, there are the Croats. Now, they are basically Roman Catholic in belief. In the south and west of the Balkans, there are the Bosnians. And they are basically Muslims, but in this area of Bosnia, which is the central region of the Balkans, there are remnants of the various peoples, both Croats, Muslims, and also Serbs. In the southwestern portion itself, there are the Albanians, who are almost altogether Muslims, a very small country that's there. And then there are Muslims scattered here and there throughout all of the areas of the Balkans region. In the north and east of this region, there are basically the Serbs, who are Orthodox Christians, something similar to Greek Orthodoxy or Russian Orthodoxy. And they are typical of the Eastern way of looking at things as far as Christianity is concerned. Now, all of these groups are basically different in religion, though the Orthodox Christians and the Roman Catholics are all Christian basically in belief. They have different political centers, different political ideas and doctrinal ideas. They are at loggerheads with one another on many factors. Both of them, however, are against the Muslims who have been there for years, who, as you know, do not accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. They look on Christ, Jesus, the Muslims do, as being a great prophet, but that he didn't even die on the cross, they say, that is, on the stake that was there in the Mount of Olives. So they have beliefs which are fundamentally different from the Christians who live in the area. It is because of these different religious beliefs, which are entrenched in their attitudes and in their minds, in their social systems, their religious systems, that give the major problems to this civil war that is now going on there. And there's not going to be any changes in the future, as far as the civil war is concerned, unless there will be changes in the attitudes of the people who live there. It makes no difference how many forces there are from NATO there to keep the peace for the time being. They can do that, that's quite true, with the force of a bayonet or a gun. But if they leave, they're going to go back to the exact same condition that they were before, and there's over 500 years of history to support that belief. So what is going to happen in this central and crucial area of Europe? You know, it so happens that the First World War was a pan-European war, that's quite true, but it had its origins in this very region of the Balkans. It was the spark that caused the rest of Europe to go to war with one another, which finally brought in the United States and the Commonwealth and other nations of the world. In a way, in one way of looking at it, the First World War started in this very region of Bosnia. Now, the Second World War was nothing more than an expansion of the First. All of the hates, all of the difficulties, all of the things that were not settled in the First World War, according to many people in Europe, particularly Germany and areas like that, and also in this region of Bosnia and Serbia, they were not resolved in the First World War, and so the Second World War was nothing more than an extension of the First. So in another way of looking at it, then, you have to say that the Second World War, when millions upon millions of people were killed, in all areas of the world, stem from events that took place in this central region of Europe known as the Balkans, and most particularly in the Bosnia area. It's for that reason alone that we in the Western world living today ought to take into serious consideration all types of political and religious events that take place in this part of the world, simply because it has a historical importance to it. And we're not going to get rid of the problems there as long as the people who live there are there. And you know, it's kind of difficult to have a mass immigration of one group of people to another part of the area of the world where their beliefs are fundamentally the same, like the Muslims, or to get the Roman Catholics to move into an area where it's mostly Roman Catholic. As a matter of fact, up there in the Northwest, they are abutting and adjacent to Italy and to Austria, where Roman Catholicism is predominant. And the Serbs themselves, they are on the eastern section primarily, and they are abutting to the Russians, the Ukrainians, and people like that who are also of Eastern Orthodox faith. Well, what is going to happen there is continued civil war unless there is a change in attitude of minds. And this is a central factor that people have to take into consideration. And our Western governments, the governments who are supplying troops to NATO, the United States supplying some 20,000 troops, Great Britain supply, and France also very similar, a number of troops, we have to realize that they are there as peacekeepers just for a temporary peace, to give a breathing space for these people to sit down and to realize that they had better work out their problems themselves. And they're going to be given a year, supposedly, as it is right now in 1995. Who knows how long people will be there in the next 3 to 4 years or so. But they're given a short time to be able to have a breathing space, to be able to resolve this problem of civil war. Do you know, national wars, international wars, I should say, are far less severe and far less traumatic, far less devastating than civil wars. Civil wars are the worst kind. Here in the United States, when we had the war between the states, that was a devastating war to our people, because we had the same people, basically, who have different political beliefs, fighting against one another, and chaos and destruction can be at a very extreme incidence. The same thing happens here in this region of the world, in Bosnia, in the Balkans region. There's going to be a continual civil war in that area, even in the future, unless there are some fundamental changes that will take place in people's attitudes, in people's minds, in the way that they live. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that the Bible says, and it prophesies, that there's going to be, believe it or not, a major change in their attitudes pretty soon. We're going to have to wait to the new millennium, just a few years in advance of us here. Do you realize that we're coming into a brand new millennium? I'm not talking about the millennium of God prophesied in the Bible. That's not very far away either. But I'm talking about the fact that we're coming into the 21st century in about 5 years from now. Once we creep into that period of time, you're going to see that people in the world are going to reevaluate their social systems that they have developed. And they're going to reevaluate them primarily because there's going to be a change in religious belief in this world. And it's going to come out of Jerusalem. It's going to come out of Israel. That is why we can, in this lecture here, compare in one way Bosnia with what's going to happen in Israel, and more particularly in Jerusalem and affairs concerning Jerusalem in the next few years. We can compare the two regions quite favorably. Though they are very different from one another as far as geographical regions are concerned, well over 1,000 miles from each other, as a matter of fact. Yet some of the same sociological and religious factors that exist in Bosnia at this present time are also evident in Israel and in the Middle East. You take, for example, in Israel, they have Muslims there, made up of various types of Arabs, primarily the Sunni Arabs. That is the mainline Arabs, you know, that believe in one particular way of looking at Islam. Then they have other groups of Arabs also there who are Muslims, and they find difficulty in getting along with one another, be they Muslims. But we also have Jewish people there, and there are a variety of type of Jewish people as far as beliefs are concerned. You know, the recent assassination of Rabin has shown a side of Israel that most people had not realized before. And in fact, it has caused some individuals now to begin to look at Israel without the jaundiced eyes that they have up to now. Israel is a common, ordinary nation like any other, and though it's made up primarily of Jewish people, they do have different beliefs from one another. Many deep-seated beliefs are quite at variance with one another amongst many of the Jewish people. Now, basically, in Israel, they are governed by what we would call fundamentally the laws of Moses, that is, the Mosaic teaching. But the Mosaic teaching leads them in religious principles, not necessarily religious beliefs of a heartfelt way. Religious principles, however, that separate them from the Muslims and separate them from the other Christians. Now, there are Christian Arabs there as well, and a smattering of other Christians coming from Europe and America who live in Israel. And all of them have an interest in Jerusalem. All of them do. The Muslims have an interest in Jerusalem. They believe that is where Muhammad left to go to the furthest mosque, as it was called, which some interpret to be heaven, to the throne of God himself. When he left from the Temple Mount on his horse, Mecca, and went bodily, some say, into heaven and came back to earth. And there is where his mission for presenting Islam to the world was vindicated and justified. So they have a reason for paying close attention to Jerusalem. The Jews, of course, have always recognized Jerusalem since the time of David, 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, as being the center of their religious beliefs, because it was in Jerusalem that the temple was first built. And David was the one who prepared for that, King David, and it was finally built by King Solomon. And though it was destroyed in the time of the Babylonians in the 6th century B.C., it was rebuilt later on in the 5th century B.C. And then King Herod himself built a brand new temple upon the Temple Mount that we know of today, where the Dome of the Rock is. And that was a temple that was in existence at the time of Jesus, the time of our Lord himself. Christ said that that temple would be destroyed, and that there would not be a stone left on one another that supported that temple. In 70 A.D., the Romans destroyed the temple. It went up in flames. Since that time, the Jewish people have tried to rebuild that temple on three different occasions, and in each time they have been frustrated and not able to do it. But they are still looking at this very moment to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and there is a society, in fact there are several of them down there, that have been raised up at this time for the express purpose of rebuilding another temple in Jerusalem. Now, other people are interested in that real estate down there. The Roman Catholics very much so are. And the Greek Orthodox. Do you know most of the holy places of Christendom, the Christendom of the 4th century, that is, from the time of Constantine onward, most of the holy places, as they call them, are in the hands of the Greek Orthodox. And the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholics have been fighting one another for centuries, and they certainly do down in Jerusalem at this very moment. There are other areas that Armenians are in control of, some that are Copts are in control of, and et cetera, et cetera. And they are all at loggerheads with each other. The swords are out of the sheath, so to speak. And the guns are actually focused and entrained upon the various neighbors in that region. They are ripe not only for external wars, but for civil war. And that is the same thing, in a sense, that is happening in Bosnia. These two areas, you see, of the world is where a whole lot of different peoples have come together that have deep-seated religious and social beliefs that are contrary to one another. And that is one of the reasons that they find great difficulty in having harmony amongst them. And it's going to continue unless, as I said before, there be a change of attitude in people's minds. Now, just let me tell you again, and I want to rehearse it once more. I'll give you the scriptures in a few moments. But there is coming, as in Bosnia, as in the Balkans, there's going to come even in Israel. Out of Jerusalem, there's going to come an attitude change as far as people are concerned. I think one of the reasons for it is because they're going to get fed up and tired of the civil wars that they've been having with one another and all of the difficulties. You know, some people are now getting to the place where they're just getting fed up with internal wars. And what has happened with the since the assassination of Rabin, the peace effort now is even more in evidence than it was before, and we're going to see that progress. We certainly are. What we're going to find, however, is that the people will have a change of attitude. Now, the change of attitude that's going to take place in the Middle East is going to filter out in a ripple effect to come into Europe, and it's going to have a profound impact upon European peoples, not only in the Balkans, but also in Italy, also in France, and in Germany, and in Great Britain. And it's going to come over even into the United States and into Australia, New Zealand, and even into places like Japan and China. Because the world today is getting, in a sense, politically, economically, socially, and even religiously, smaller and smaller. In other words, people are now becoming more, in a sense, homogeneous, but yet at this present time there are deep-seated differences still. Like I said before, those are going to continue unless there are changes of attitudes in people's minds. Now, you take just you and me personally. You who happens to be listening to my tape right now, who is a Christian. Now, do you realize what you have had to do to become what we might call a Christian? Now, if you read your scripture very carefully, you will find that you were picked before the foundation of the world to be doing what you are doing right now. You are fulfilling the will of God. But when John the Baptist came on the scene and then followed just a short time later by Jesus himself, what is the thing that he went about Palestine preaching the most? He was saying, to use an old religious term, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If we want to use it in the secular sense, which, by the way, I prefer, he was saying, change your attitude, folks, because a new governmental system is coming on the earth that is going to be engineered and controlled by God Almighty himself. Now, that is in the secular sense, and you know that's really what he meant. Let's get rid of these religious terms, which most of us don't even understand in the first place. Well, Jesus said this in a prophecy that there's coming in the future even another type of a John the Baptist that's going to be saying the same thing. Now, John the Baptist was a priest. Remember, his mother and father, his father Zacharias, was there in the temple, and clearly he was a priest. So someone is going to be arriving over there in Jerusalem who will have priestly ancestry, and he's going to be like a John the Baptist. He's going to be like an Elijah. In fact, as we call him, in prophetic terms, the Elijah to come. And what is he going to be doing? He's going to be changing the attitudes of people. Well, first of all, he's going to tell them that they ought to change their attitudes. And then God's going to come along to make them do it. They will not be able to do it on their own. What it says is that God is going to send forth, Zechariah chapter 12, it says this, send forth a spirit of grace and of supplication. That means they're going to be supplicating God for something. And it's going to be resulting, it's going to be through the avenue of grace. It's going to be something good and beautiful. And you know they're going to have a change of mind. And who's going to cause them to have that change of mind? Not themselves, it's going to be God that does it. Now let me get back to you personally. Every single one of you listening to me on this tape right now has had a miracle in your life if you believe at the present time that Jesus is the Christ. If you believe, and you do, but if you believe that this Bible here is the Word of God, that it is inspired, that it is your guidebook, that is not only for you personally, but it has within it the teachings of what is going to happen in the next few years, and what is going to happen in the next 1,000 years, and more importantly, why you were put on this earth, who you are, why you're here, what are the reasons for your life. This is the Bible. You have come to believe that. Do you know that Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Spirit of the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is an absolute fact. That's John 6:44. He repeated it down in verse 65 of John 6. Same thing. No man can come to me except the Spirit of the Father draw him. Now, if that is what has happened to you personally, in a sense you have heard like a John the Baptist speaking, so to speak, saying, change your ways, change your attitudes, because get in tune with God. Now, have you not done that? Yes. Have I not done that? Yes. Has it not been for our welfare? Yes. In fact, you and I know who we are. We know that we are the children of Almighty God. We know that we are in Christ right now. We are, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, now sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Legally, that's who we are. We are already reckoned as the children of God and separate from other people in this world because of that. That doesn't mean we're any different than anybody else in this world physically. On the horizontal plane, we're just as human as anybody else. We are citizens of our various countries just like anybody else. But as far as God the Father and Christ Jesus are concerned, we are citizens of heaven. And better than even citizens of heaven, we are members of the very family of God. Now, who put you there? God did. That's the point I'm trying to bring out. Jesus Christ, then, is your Savior, and you know he is because God allows you to have that belief. If he had not have come down, so to speak, and turned that screw in your head, you would be just like anybody else on the streets of America, if that's where you live, or in the streets of Britain, if that's where you live, or anywhere else. God is the one who comes and changes attitudes. Now, what is going to happen in Bosnia? What is going to happen in the world? Well, I'll tell you, what you need to focus on is what's going to happen in Jerusalem. Because you hit there first, you're going to have, which is the center of the world, religiously, and pretty soon it's going to be politically. Pretty soon it's going to be even economically, socially, and everything else. God is about to do a marvelous and a wonderful work in Jerusalem. He is going to change people's minds. You see what I mean? He's going to do it. Now, when he starts to change people's minds in Jerusalem, he's going to open the door in other areas of the world. And it's going to affect each one of you living wherever you are listening to me at this present time. And when he starts to do that, he's not too far down the line. He hasn't started yet. He only is working, shall we say, with a few at the present time. Just a beginning group. Just the first fruits, so to speak, among whom you are. And there are others in the world that are like us. We are the precursors, so to speak, the advance people, to tell people, not only to help ourselves to know who we are, but also to tell other people in the world who they are. And once we find that other people are beginning to learn the truth, beginning, that is, the truth is out there, God is going to then do the changing himself. He is going to do something which will cause people in the world to change their attitudes. Now, if you want to know what is going to happen in the next few years, I'm going to go into that on this second side of this tape. But what you need to recognize now is that there are going to be some major changes for peace in the next few years in advance of us. And that peace is going to come because God is going to cause it. Now, I don't mean in every part of the world. I don't mean that you're going to have peace, tranquility, calm everywhere. Even in our own families, we have difficulty, even with our own selves, don't we? And that just ramifies out to relationships between various nations. Sure, that's true. But you know, when God himself gets ready to change people's attitudes and to change people's minds, they will be able to be in harmony with one another. They may have to grit their teeth, so to speak, to be able to do it, but they're going to see an advantage to the whole thing. Now, the troops that are in NATO at the present time in Bosnia that are entrenching themselves there are on a peacekeeping mission to give a breathing space for these people there so that they might say, now listen, folks, there are not going to be any changes much, you know, unless we all change our minds, but at the present time, there's not much incentive for the Muslims to become Christians. There's not much incentive for the Serbian Christians to become Roman Catholics. And there's not much incentive for the Croats, who are Roman Catholics, to become Serbs or to become Muslims. You see the problem? You know what they need to do? They all need to realize that those three different religious beliefs are all wrong. They're all wrong. They need to come to another thing, another belief, another system that God will bring in, which they can all recognize to be right, which they can all attach themselves to. And you know that is going to happen in Bosnia. Coming in 10 to 20 and 25 years, you're going to be able to see some of the major problems temporarily solved in that region. It will not do it completely until Christ Jesus comes back, 100%. But there's going to be a time of peace developing here on the earth because God is the one who's going to bring it to pass. But you know, the concentration should not be at first on Bosnia. The concentration should be prophetically where it always ought to be. It ought to be on Jerusalem. There is where the initial change in attitudes are going to take place. Because the Jewish people themselves, with their various beliefs that they have at the present, are all going to come to a change of attitude pretty soon. And what they will then begin to go into, temporarily at first, will be something that they can all agree to. And you know, even the Muslims are going to be a part of it, and others as well in the area of Jerusalem. Is this possible? The answer is yes. Prophecy says it is going to happen. In the B section of this lecture, on the other side of this tape, I'm going to go into some of these things that are going to happen in the next few years that you are going to live to see. And we're going to see prophecy come alive as never before. We are living in the most exciting times in the history of the world. God is and has privileged you and me to not only witness these things, but to be actors in these affairs. Get ready for some wonderful and beautiful things that God is going to put out on this world in the next few years. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the B-side of this lecture.